Called Six Marks of a Disciple. And last Sunday we talked about the first mark, which was having the heart for Christ alone. And today we will talk about the next, the second mark, which is having a mind transformed or changed by the Word of God, which is contained in the Bible. Let's read just two short verses for today. The first one is from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And then the second one is Romans chapter 12, verse 2a, the first part of verse 2. "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Did you ever see how the Coca-Cola bottles are produced, made in their factory? A small lump of materials are carried on this conveyor belt on the assembly line, and the machine picks up the lump and they squeeze it. They mold it into the same shape of Coke bottles that we are all familiar with, and they all look the same. And the Bible says that's what the world is doing to all of us. The world wants uniformity. The world is squeezing us into its mold, into its pattern. The translation of Romans 12:2 in Phillips Bible, which is another translation, it says, "Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold." The world imposes its worldview that rejects God, that rejects Jesus as the Son of God and His Word. The Bible says that everything in the world is shaped by the desires of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what one has and does. But God wants to shape and mold us into a different pattern, into a different image, into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. When we believe and are baptized in the name of Jesus, we receive the life of Christ, the new life of God. So we have our old sinful nature, our human life, and we also have the godly life, the life of Jesus in us. And those two are in conflict. And our thought life becomes the battleground between these two natures. Now, what do you think about? You know, what if we were able to see, you know, the technology develops and you put something on your head and you connect it to a screen and we are able to see what you are thinking and it's displayed on the screen like a movie. You know, what would we see? You know, what imaginations, what thoughts in your mind would appear on that screen? I'm sure, you know, we don't want people to see that type of, you know, stuff on the screen. When we are judged by God on the last day, God will judge us not only by the things we have spoken and by actions, but also by what thoughts we have nurtured in our minds. Because the Bible says God looks at the heart. God knows what's inside our heart. He knows our inner person. We have some thoughts we would not want to share with others. Sometimes those dark thoughts come from our old sinful nature. Sometimes dark and negative thoughts come from the evil one, from the devil. Or sometimes dark thoughts are planted by things that we watch, by things we hear or read. Some dark thoughts occur repeatedly, and that may show an area of vulnerability, that may be an area of our weakness, an area we are prone to temptation. Some are sinful thoughts and some are unworthy thoughts. Here are some examples of sinful thoughts. Lustful thoughts. You know, we seek self gratification through ways that are not pleasing to God. Judgmental thoughts. You know, we classify people and we condemn others and we refuse to enter into another person's pain or suffering. Jealous or envious thoughts. That represents that's resenting other people who receive something that we feel like we should receive or who are able to perform better than we can. Competitive thoughts. We compare ourselves with others and we try to prove to God and to others that I am better. Manipulative thoughts. We attempt to use other people for our advantage in order to secure something for us. Critical or proud thoughts. We are unwilling to see from others' perspective, and we make ourselves the center of all things. Hateful thoughts. You know, there's an anger, and we nurture our anger, and we don't deal with our anger. Do we recognize a few of these in our minds, in our hearts? And there are also the unworthy thoughts, which can lead to self-hatred. Typical one, I'm a failure. I'm a big failure. Nothing works for me. I'm not able to perform. I am just a sinner, and that's a great excuse for sinning. I'm just a sinner. I can't. I'm not good at it. I can't. I can't do it. We are paralyzed by fear, and such fear sometimes betrays our lack of trust in God. Or, I am not worthy. We see no value in ourselves, and we try to find some value in what we do. I hate myself. Self-rejection. I am all alone. Nobody cares. These are the thoughts of self-pity that blinds us from God's love and from the love of others. I don't care anymore. Bitterness or anger at disappointing situations or rejection. I give up. You lose your motivation and you have no expectation of others. I don't want to talk about it. We refuse to be open. We close ourselves from others. These are examples of negative, unworthy thoughts in our minds. Now, any of these thoughts can come to us randomly at any time of the day, but they become problems when we dwell upon these thoughts and when we meditate on them over and over again. We are nurturing these thoughts and they become problems. Martin Luther said, "You cannot keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep the birds from building a nest on your head." What he means is that, you know, these random thoughts, evil thoughts, they come and go throughout the day, and we can't really prevent, you know, these thoughts, negative evil thoughts, from occurring in our minds. But what we can do is we can choose to not dwell, not nurture on these thoughts. Once we dwell on them and nurture them and meditate on them, then, you know, they shape us, they mold us, they influence us. And the truth is that we have dwelt on a few of these dark, evil thoughts in our minds, and we have nurtured them in our hearts. We have meditated on these thoughts for years and years, and they have become a pattern. They have shaped us. We bear the fruit of what we meditate in our minds. These negative thoughts have indeed molded us and shaped us into the person that we are today. How then can we be renewed in our minds? First, according to the Bible, we are to take every thought captive to obey Jesus Christ. We are to take captive every thought and submit them to Christ. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, "We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." That's not, you know, that's from the Bible. That's not me. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves to God. resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So we must turn away. We must repent from each of those thoughts, and we bring each of them to Christ to be forgiven, to be cleansed, to confess and to be cleansed. And what happens after we confess our evil thoughts? There's a story in the Bible, Jesus tells us, about an unclean spirit who used to dwell in a person. You know, that person was demon-possessed. But then the devil, he goes out from the person and he searches for a new place to dwell. But he couldn't find anyone or anything. So he comes back to that person and the devil finds the mind of that person cleansed. It put in order. And then the Bible says that he would go out and bring seven evil spirits that are even more evil than itself. So it is with the one who repents of evil thoughts. The nature does not like a vacuum, and so does the spiritual world. After we repent, you know, we cannot just, you know, leave our mind empty in a state of vacuum. We have to fill it with something new. We are to plant new thoughts through the meditation of God's Word, meditation of Bible. The main tool the Holy Spirit uses to shape us into the image of God is God's Word, the Bible. Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are my disciples." The literal Greek translation is, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples." And the way to abide in the word of Jesus is to meditate on the word of God. Now, meditating on God's word means to read the Bible and think about it. You know, you ponder upon it over and over again. And you do that in order to meet the living God and to hear his voice, his message for you. Now, we can set aside maybe 20, 30, even an hour a day just to read and meditate on God's Word and to pray. Now, we all know how to meditate because we all know how to worry. You know, we've worried about many different things. You know, maybe you have been worried about one thing the whole day or for the whole week. And if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. In our pondering over God's word, we hear God's voice speaking to us. When we are afraid, God says, "My son or my daughter, do not be afraid. I am with you." In the Bible, "do not fear." There's 365 "do not fears" in the Bible. So God says to us every day, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid," every day. That's one of God's messages for us. "I am with you. Don't be afraid." And when I say, "God, I can't do this. I can't. I can't. I can't." God says, "I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right arm." When we feel unworthy or jealous, God speaks of his love. "You are my son. You are my daughter. With you I am well pleased, and everything I have is yours." When I get competitive or try to prove my worth, God says, "You are already complete in me. Your highest achievement is to be loved by me." When I feel like a failure, God reminds me that I can depend upon his faithfulness, and God gives me a new strength through the Bible, through his word, to start over. When we meditate, God's Spirit plants the seed of the word in our hearts and in our minds. And the word becomes alive and active and plants new thoughts in us. And it destroys the negative, evil, unworthy thoughts in our minds. You may have heard of Pastor David Ross. Pastor David Ross and his wife Ellen Ross, they were Presbyterian missionaries to Korea, and they started the youth with a mission ministry in Korea, and they also founded the Antioch Institute. I've heard him speak when I went to a CCC Vision Conference in New York. He's great. He can speak fluent Korean and, you know, of course, fluent English. And he wrote a book called A Table Before Me, and he tells of a girl named Rhonda. Rhonda was at the time in high school, and she never went to church. Her family was not religious, but she had a very low self-esteem. She had a lot of these unworthy thoughts in her mind, and she got addicted to alcohol and drugs. And in her senior year, her condition got so bad that she had to enter into a state psychiatric hospital. And her illness was more severe than was thought. And the doctor told her and her parents that she would stay in the hospital for a long time. Some weeks later, a group of women from a local Presbyterian church came to visit. And one lady had a very large Bible with her. And she asked the head nurse if she could go from room to room and just read the Bible to mental patients. And the head nurse said, no, you can't do that. You know. But then the doctor, the presiding doctor of Rhonda, overheard the conversation, and he said, well, you can at least come to my patient. So the doctor let the lady come to Rhonda and read the Bible for just 1 hour a day. And so she faithfully came every day, and she would just read the Bible to Rhonda for an hour and then leave. 2 months passed by, and her condition got worse. I mean, you know, there was no improvement. She became worse. But this lady kept on reading the Bible to her. And she would read from passages like Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you came to birth, I consecrated you. Or from the Psalm, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Another 2 months went by, and she kept reading every day for an hour. Still no improvement for 4 months. But then in the next few months, the young girl began to respond to her reading. She was listening, and she would occasionally even ask questions about the Bible, about the word she heard. And by the end of 6 months, she had completely recovered, and she was dismissed from the hospital. And it turns out that her presiding doctor was Jewish, and he also believed that God's word had healed her. After her recovery, Rhonda was able to go to college, and there she became a born-again Christian. And sometimes she would go to the university square, and she would seek out young people who are hurting. And in her conversations, she would often ask this question. She would also carry a Bible, and she just says, may I read the Bible to you? And now she is a mature, loving, and caring Christian. So the Word of God had truly renewed her mind. You know, we are all meditators. If we do not meditate on God's Word, we will meditate on something. Idols, it could be money or anything. You know, we will always meditate on something. And so it's better for us to meditate on God rather than other idols in our life. So, saints and believers, brothers and sisters, let us continue to meditate on God. Maybe some of us have been sort of neglecting. Maybe you got lazy and we haven't even opened up the Bible for months. If that's the case, you know, please set aside, maybe just you can start with just 20 minutes a day. If you're a morning person, you can open up the Bible in the morning. If you're a night owl, you can open up the Bible at night and just spend 20 minutes trying to read just one chapter a day, and try to think about God's Word and you know, try to listen to what God is trying to say to you, and spend some time praying. That's how we grow, and that's how we are changed into a person more like Jesus Christ. So let's continue to meditate on God's Word. Then in a place of depression, we will find joy. Instead of unbelief, we will find faith. And the love of idols will be replaced by the love of Jesus Christ. And all fears will be removed because of God's love. Today, let's use Psalm 1 to guide us in our prayer. Psalm 1 says, "Their delight is in the law of the Lord, in God's word, and on His law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper." So let's pray that we will meditate on God's word every day so that our minds can be renewed and become the mind of Christ. Let's pray. Discipline ourselves to meditate upon your word every day, day and night, and help us to seek you and long for your voice. Would you meet with us and speak to us? Help us to be open to the Holy Spirit so that He can speak to us through the word that He has authored. May we be changed and transformed to be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.